guys, it's another episode. We're here again.
We made it to three.
We stuck by our commitment to do at least three.
We haven't been canceled yet.
We have not been independently canceled as a free podcast. Welcome to Gilmore Guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
I'm White.
I'm not.
He's not.
Guys. It remains a mystery.
Does it remain? Where are you from, actually?
Nigeria.
Nigeria?
Yeah, my family's from Nigeria. I was born in London.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're not a U.S. citizen?
I am. I am as of like fifth grade.
Okay.
Yeah.
But not naturally.
No, no.
Wow. So you're just rocking all over the world.
Like Ludacris.
Is that his song?
I think it's Pimpin' All Over the World.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Same thing.
I did you Weebe, does that mean something in Nigerian?
I don't think it does. If it does, I don't know what it means.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is our first episode recording. Oh, that was some nice information. You know, not everything has to be funny or about Gilmore Girls. Some things can just be informative and boring.
I mean, some things have to be about Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, but not everything.
Not everything.
I mean, not most things. This, I wouldn't even say this is really a Gilmore Girls podcast. This is really just delving to the psyche of two men.
Yeah.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or eBooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace. So you can figure out who's visiting your website and why. And figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys.
It's like we're just delving into our psyches, and in there is just some Gilmore Girls talk peppered through.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just hard not to see that and talk about it because it's so deeply in there.
Yeah.
So this is our first episode we're recording as of the podcast being live on iTunes. We launched it yesterday, and so far the reactions have been positive.
Yeah.
I think.
Maybe kindly positive?
Yeah. I mean, I think people are sincerely, as far as I can tell, people are sincerely enjoying the show.
Which is good.
Which is great. I haven't gotten any mean stuff yet.
I haven't either.
Did you see that we have a review in iTunes? Ooh. We have our first iTunes review. We have a few ratings. This is really, I don't know, it's kind of cool. It means a lot to me to like just have this be a dumb thing I was thinking about like a month ago and then put it out in the world and people are listening to it.
Yeah, I was looking back, I think, at your Twitter, and it was on September 17th that you were like, if we did a podcast called Gilmore Guys, wouldn't that be thing? And then like less than a month later, we're three episodes in.
Lo and behold, guys.
Yeah.
That's the power of love.
The power is yours.
Exactly. And knowledge is power. I'm going to pull up our first review on the podcast section. I don't think it's your typical review, if I remember correctly. Let me find it. It's loading right now. I should have preloaded this like a professional. This doesn't make me not a professional. It's just less professional than it would have been if I had it up before. So, Demi, why don't you fill time while I'm doing that?
Today, I went to the store.
All right. Thanks, Demi. We're done. I found the review, and it's 5 stars, written by a guy who likes underscore movies, and he gives us 5 stars, which is great. Super positive. The subject line is, I don't understand. And he writes, it's okay, I guess. I guess I don't understand why I couldn't see anything. I continued to refresh, but it was just two guys talking. Where's the video? Where's the show? I like diversity, so I gave it a 5. So, thank you to a guy who likes underscore movies.
Thank you so much. That's a terrific review.
We really appreciate that and just appreciate your support and love.
Yeah, and the plug for diversity at the end really goes a long way.
Yeah, because I feel like that's what this show is about. I mean, in a way, you like Bruce Springsteen, right?
Yeah.
You've heard of him.
I know him.
We're kind of like the Bruce and Clarence Clemens of Gilmore Girls podcast.
You mentioned the second person, and I don't know who that is.
Clarence Clemens was his saxophone player. At the time, the only black member of the band.
Right.
He's since added like 5, but...
We're Run DMC and Aerosmith.
Yeah. Yeah. I like mine better.
Yours is better.
Okay. So, let's kick off the episode. This is an episode called Kill Me Now.
Kill Me Now.
Which is pretty intense. Let's go ahead and kick it off with our special weekly segment that we're going to do every week called Pop
Goes the Culture. I forgot about that.
Pop Goes the Culture. We're going to take every single pop culture reference in the show and play them back to back to back to back. I've put them all together, and we're just going to take a listen and maybe learn a little something along the way. Actually, we might literally learn something along the way. Let's listen. This is for Gilmore Girls, episode 103, Kill Me Now.
I'll send up some wine and a masseuse who bears a remarkable resemblance to Antonio Banderas.
It's like a really snooty Doublemint commercial.
I'd rather get my face surgically altered to look like that lunatic rich lady with the lion head.
Madonna and Sean Penn should get remarried. Mencken's Christomathy.
I mean, in this age of MTV and 100 television channels.
Was it an all-boy band? Kind of a scary, feathery NSYNC kind of fiasco?
Jackie wants Samuel Barber, John Cage, and Philip Glass. And Jessica wants Shania Twain's I Feel Like a Woman.
To me, you are the teacher in the Charlie Brown cartoon.
Now you look just like Tiger Woods.
If Rory goes and has a good time without you, then I win.
Okay, Bob Barker.
Pepe Le Pew, you want to give me a hand with this?
It's a conspiracy.
Oh, it's Peyton Place.
It's Peyton Place.
It's Peyton Place.
Do you know what that is?
I don't.
It's a soap opera from the 1960s, I believe. This was the most esoteric reference of the show.
Easily.
Out of all of them, we get Pepe Le Pew, we get... Doublemint commercial, even
NSYNC,
but Peyton, yeah, NSYNC's very of its time. Peyton Place, let's look it up right now. Peyton Place is a primetime soap opera which aired on ABC from 1964 to 1969.
Whoa,
who was that reference for?
I don't know. For like the 2 40-year-olds watching the show, I guess.
But even if they're 40, would they remember?
No, they'd have to
Peyton
be like,
Place.
No,
and I can't imagine. I wonder what. I'm a network executive at WB.
Right.
And we're just launching this show. We're still a young network. We get this script, and one of the lines is, it's Peyton Place. We're trying to appeal to young men and women, the teenager crowd. What am I thinking at this moment?
Well, assuming you're a network executive, you're probably old, so you probably get the reference, and you're just like, yes, yes, this is good. This is great. I love it. Green light.
Yeah, that probably Yeah, you think they were so old that some things like they like greenlit because they're like, yeah, people know what this is.
Peyton Place came on after Andy Griffith.
Guys, that's you might not know this because you're younger, but that was the Andy Griffith theme song.
Yeah,
I just whistled a little bit of it. So let's get into the episode. Kill Me Now. We open with. Nails and not whipped cream. No, that's last week's episode.
A dinner at the Gilmore.
We open with the dinner at the Gilmore Place, which is the first Friday night dinner, other than the pilot, the first one in the series where we see it happening in the course of the show. And this starts also the joke, which becomes a long-running joke, which is Emily's got a lot of maids.
Yeah.
And they talk about that, and they don't know which is which and who's who. We could do a supercut of the maids if we wanted to, truthfully.
We should. By the time it gets to the point where they're like too many to remember.
There's no maid that stays in the episode more than one episode. That stays in the show for more than one episode. The weird thing, here's a really fun trivia fact. This is trivia, guys.
La 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 la. Trivia.
So they talk about Lorelai the First in this scene. Richard's like, oh, she was a grand dame, blah, 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 da, 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 da. And they talk a lot about her as if she's deceased.
Right.
But actually, She becomes a character in the show. Like,
seriously?
Yeah, she becomes a character in the show, I think, later this season.
She's not like a great aunt or anything, is she? What
no,
is
she is Rory's great-grandmother, oh, okay. Lorelai's grandmother, Richard's mom.
Right.
And she does. She's played by Marion Ross. She comes in later, but this was a weird continuity error that I guess they just retconned and hoped we'd forget about. This was before DVDs.
Yeah.
So I guess they didn't care about that. So here's what's funny about this scene, too. Here's another little trivia thing. Last week, the titles for, like, written by blah, 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 directed by blah, 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 they were off-center. This week, they're centered.
What's up? What happened last week? Was there, like, a disgruntled editor or something?
I don't know. Maybe he was so mad. He's like, I want to wreck this show.
I'm going to misalign these. Oh, I'm going to get
But
him.
I have limited power. I'm going to misalign these credits because they're back in the center. Man. So who knows? I mean, man, they say shows like Lost are complicated, but I can barely keep up with this show given where the credits are, where they're not. And
what did she mean by that?
It's a nightmare.
What does the hatch mean?
What does the hatch mean?
In Gilmore Girls.
That'd be fun. I'd like to see Emily Gilmore on The Lost Island.
I would love to. No one else would be able to understand her.
Yeah. Or just Emily Gilmore in anything, truthfully. Yeah. So the titles are centered. And this...
Oh, wait. I mean, we'll talk about Emily Gilmore more later, I'm sure. But continue.
Yeah. Oh, do you have some...
It's just like a revelation about her.
Oh, no, go for it.
I was just, like... In the opening scene with the dinner, like, everything she said just felt like Lucille Bluth to me. Like, diet Lucille Bluth. Like, not as catty, but sort of like a, I couldn't care less about the people and, like, just her mannerisms and even the way she dresses. It's like Lucille was inspired by Arrested Development, for those of you who don't know. And if you don't know, come on. Arrested Development, it's...
Come on! It's that's a quote from...
Come on! That was unintentional. It just happens. But,
comedy
yeah.
Comedy flows out of Demi.
Yeah, Abbott and Costello. I couldn't even think of a bit.
Abbott and Elvis Costello.
Yes. But it's just very much, like, I don't know if that's an archetype that's existed before the Gilmore Girls. I'm sure it has to have, because, like, I mean, people have actual moms and in-laws that are just, like, catty, terrible people. But, like, it felt so much cut from the cloth of Lucille, despite having happened 3 years before Arrested Development, that it was just sort of like when you see, like, The Godfather or something... After you've seen so many parodies of The Godfather, and you're like, oh, this is where it came from. It just felt like that. It was really cool. But
that's my first thought when I watched Arrested Development. And Lucille Bluth, who's probably my favorite character on the show when looking back on it, I did not like, because I was like, oh, this is just cheapo Emily.
Really?
So I had that compared. You're doing the reverse, but yeah. I came to Gilmore Girls first and then Arrested Development. And I was like, this is like an edgeless, because it just seemed like real big and broad, yeah. and it is, but that's the show. That's Arrested Development. This is like a lot more nuanced, and there's so much like depth to it,
right?
And pain, as you see as the show goes on, and yeah, I would say Emily Gilmore is very much like a realistic, emotionally speaking, realistic and grounded version of Lucille.
And I loved that she like just. I mean, from the moment that they have the conversation about don't make Rory go to
golf.
Yeah, don't make Rory go to golf. And she's just like, so are you betting that she won't like it? Because if you're wrong, I win. Just that entire speech, I was like, obviously Rory's going to like it. But still, I was just like, in that moment, I'm just like, I feel Lorelai's hatred for her mother, but also just like I'm rooting for Emily to be proven.
Oh, you're
right.
Rooting for
I
Emily.
Was. It was weird. Like, I didn't, I mean, maybe just because I knew that Rory was going to love it, but
you
also,
like Lorelai.
I do. I
so
love
you don't,
Lorelai.
So you don't, it's not anything against Lorelai.
No, no. It was just in that moment, I was like, you go. Like, it was great. I don't know. Maybe it's just the way that she was so confident and cocksure, just like, oh, so you think, like, she was just not standing up, but like sort of just taking down Lorelai, which is, I don't know. I liked it.
Yeah, and I guess this really, this gets into one of the central conflicts of the show. As the show goes on, this really becomes a big part of it, is just the back and forth, the tug of war for Rory, and like you could say the battle of Rory's soul or whatever, but right. There's this constant thing of Lorelai doesn't want the life for her that her parents wanted for Lorelai. She wants her own thing. She wants to keep her safe in Stars Hollow and let her do whatever she wants. And she wants her to have autonomy. She doesn't want her to be put in the rich white people belt and cotillion parties and coming out balls and everything. And so for her, Richard and Emily really represent a threat to that autonomy and a threat to her life,
right.
Which I think, I don't know. Do you think Lorelai is overreacting in general to like her grandparent or her parents wanting to bond with her daughter?
I don't think she's overreacting. I sort of see where it's coming from because it also kind of feels like Emily's got like ulterior motives or is trying to pull Rory away from being like Lorelai. But at the same time, I think that, I mean, there was that great revelation in this episode about like the Harvard. Did I want that for you? Is that the next episode?
I believe that's the next episode.
Oh, there's no revelation about blah, blah, blah.
We'll get to that in 104, guys. That was a little teaser.
They do touch on it in the fact that Lorelai doesn't know if Rory enjoyed it because she, like, if it's something that's unenjoyable or is something that she herself did not enjoy because she was never asked to do it. So, I mean, that's a thing. Like, is Rory, like, is Emily actually trying to pull her away, or is she literally trying to do what she thinks is best for Rory? And it could be a little bit of both, but it also feels like, is she trying to pull her away so that Lorelai doesn't turn her into, quote-unquote, a fuck-up? Because yeah. I'm sure that's what Emily sort of sees Lorelai as.
By the way, here's an actual fun trivia fact about iTunes and podcasting.
Yeah.
Is you have to mark it either explicit or clean when you upload it.
Yeah.
And because we've dropped a few F-bombs on the show, we have to mark our Gilmore Girls podcast explicit. So, I mean, to be sure, we're not going to get too graphic.
Yeah, of course.
There's only a few, like, hardcore sex scenes where you actually see full on. So we're going to breeze by those. We're not really going to get into those. And that was on the CW when like anything goes.
Everything goes on the CW.
Yeah. But
what happened in this episode of Gilmore Girls?
What did happen? Oh, well, you want to do the fashion report?
Sure.
Okay. Let's do the fashion report. La 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 la.
Fashion.
The fashion of the Christ. So Lorelai's got a nice mesh green top in that first scene at Friday Night Dinners. I'm a fan of that. I'm not a fan of Emily's brooch in that scene. In general, I don't like the way they're dressing her this season. It's just like old, stuffy clothes. I'm not into it.
Yeah.
The best part of the fashion, obviously, in the episode, do you know what I'm going to say?
I'm trying to think.
It's got to be Rory's pants when they go golfing.
Yes, actually, yeah. And yeah. Rory's hat the and entire Rory's episode. Little hat.
I know. I wanted to put Rasta music over this podcast while we talk about Rory's hat.
Rory's hat, man.
Rippity bippity bop bop.
John O'Bashel.
Yeah. Lorelai's suit when she's playing the wedding, I didn't care for that.
I thought it was nice.
Yeah, the I thought it was purple. Too baggy.
Oh, wait. No, I'm thinking
no, of the dress. No, not the end. The dress at the end was bomb.com. Yeah. Hello, mama. But the suit when she's actually planning it before the wedding is just like, I know, it's just a little too, it's like turn of the 90s where it's like we're moving away from baggy clothes from the, the David Byrne suit and stop making sense.
Yeah, I would love for everyone in this series to just be wearing giant suits that clearly are like way too big for them.
Or have it be one character and no one ever comments on it.
Yeah, just like, the dude in the first episode who looked like he was in a ska band, the dude that had the glasses and the hat.
Yeah, Maury.
Maury were wearing that suit, I'd be like, oh, no, of course he is.
Yeah, the dude in the ska band, Babette and Maury. Oh, Sally Struthers.
Oh, Sally.
Suki's...
Who returns in this episode? Yeah.
Babette?
No, wait.
Sally Struthers.
Wait, no. Yeah, I don't know. I had to say that off. This is the wedding episode.
Yeah.
Sorry, this is like the first time that we're doing one of these that I've watched multiple episodes.
Yeah, we watched two episodes, and so our minds are kind of melding together over the course of them. Maybe we should, like, maybe in future episodes, we'll just combine the two episodes and talk about all of them at once.
But yeah.
For now, we're just going to
I think I just got to take better notes then.
Either or.
Anyway.
We could combine two episodes or Demi could get a shit together. Either or.
Either or. Neither.
But yeah, Lorelai's dress at the end is great. Suki's got a weird jean jacket in the town scene.
I love her jean jacket, but also because I love jean jackets myself.
I like her. I like jean jackets myself, but I don't like hers was the one where the lacing was like orange. I don't know what that's called. But you know what I'm talking about, where it's like more orangey or yellowy lace, or not lace. Right? It's not a bra. It is not. Yeah, it's a thread.
Jean jacket lingerie.
Yeah, well, that's $1 million. That's $1 million idea.
Please support my Kickstarter.
Yeah, and that's been the fashion report.
Fashion.
Yeah.
Is that how we're ending that now?
I guess so.
I'm all aboard.
I'm going to record them. I'm going
Let's
to.
Let's do it.
We've been recording these at a breakneck pace to keep up with the
drum beat. Fashion.
Fashion.
I don't know what rhythm this is.
Yo, my name's Kevin Porter.
And my name is Demi. Oh.
Oh.
I fucking stepped on your line for a bit of narcissism. Oh my God.
Wait, what were you here to say? Let's try to freestyle real quick. I'll do one line and then you
Oh, this
do
is great.
One.
We should do every episode a bit of a freestyle.
Yeah. All right. Okay. 1, 2, 5, 6, 7. Well, my name is Kevin.
And my name is Demi.
And I'm rock hard.
And I am a semi. You planned that. I gotta go. I am a semi, I guess.
Oh, guys.
This rhymes with my name.
Mom, if you're listening, I love you. I'm sorry I haven't called.
Mom, I know you're not listening, but I also love you. And I called you earlier because I'm a good son.
Will your mom not listen to this?
She doesn't. I don't think she even, like, reads my tweet. Not that she should read my tweets, but she doesn't, like, care about anything that I do on the internet or whatever. Oh. No, not in a bad way. Oh, I don't want her to.
No, it's okay, buddy. It's a safe space.
I send her the links and stuff. I don't know.
You say, hey, Rob Delaney RT'd me.
Hey, Mom.
And she's like, who's Rob Delaney? I don't care.
Mom, on BuzzFeed.
That's Were cool. you on BuzzFeed?
No. Possibly. Who knows? Everyone's on BuzzFeed.
Yeah, in the future, we'll all be on BuzzFeed. For 15
in the
minutes.
Future, yeah. Oh, you're reading my mind.
So Lorelai's planning this nightmare wedding with two sets of twins marrying each other.
That was the greatest. Yeah. Michelle's reaction to seeing the second set of twins is just,
oh my God.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Is this a good French accent? Oh, I'm Michelle. Oh my God.
That's Ringo Starr.
That's a number one hit record.
Ooh, and I'm the Beatles.
What would there's a nightmare wedding going on. I love how exasperated the mom is throughout all this. It's like, she's probably not great people.
She's borderline existential. She's like, do you ever hate your daughter? And it's like, whoa, calm down.
Yeah, the line was, do you hate your daughter? And she said, I wasn't fond of her during labor.
Right.
She said, for me, that was the high part, or the high moment. Whatever.
And there's never a break from it. Even at the end, she's like, they're going to Arizona. And you think she's going to be like, no, I love my kids, but no.
All kidding aside, my kids are great. It's fine.
Never there.
Yeah, so Michelle continues to be a garbage employee for the most part.
He is the worst employee. Yeah. Like, he doesn't have one scene where it's like, oh, Michelle, you're redeemed.
Yeah.
But also, I looked him up afterwards. Yannick Truesdale is the guy that plays him.
That's true.
He's not French. So his accent's just like a very bad, like, sort of.
Is he not French Canadian?
I don't think he is. I think he's. Is he?
I thought he was French Canadian. Yannick, if you're listening, we love you.
Please don't listen to my bad mouthing your real accent.
Come on the show, Yannick. We'd love to talk to you about
your accent,
all nationalities, and
call us.
Just healing the race relations in this country that have been torn apart for too long.
Now that I think about it, it did say Canadian, and I was just like, that's not France. I'm an idiot.
No, you're not an idiot.
I just need to fact check before I make bold claims. Dude. What am I, Fox News? One second. I got a laugh track.
Say it again.
No, my phone crashed. It's fine.
Oh, no.
Do you have it? Do you have a laugh track? No, don't worry about it.
Ha, 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 ha.
There we go. Thank you.
It's Ray Romano laughing while trying
Deborah.
To...
Deb.
We are in the inn. We don't have to go beat by beat. I don't know what's more interesting. So, like, actually go through the episode or just, like, talk about general themes. What do you think, guys? Call in. We're here at 818-529-6969.
Yep. Sex number times two.
We're taking your calls. It's a video game.
Kevin, I just realized. We're not live.
No, this isn't live from New York.
It's... Thursday evening.
It's Thursday evening. I'm dead.
Aww.
It's sad. R.I.P. Jimmy.
Rip to the greatest.
R.I.P. Jimmy. Jimmy, if you're listening, we love you.
You are never not funny.
Yeah. You know what? He should call a show that. And it's so okay. Well, let's talk about Emily because we just are both gaga for Emily. It's so interesting in this show to watch Richard, be the pawn in Emily's game.
Yeah.
She's totally just like, this is our moment. This is our chance. We have one chance with this girl, blah, 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 and we're not going to lose her. And he's like, oh, okay, I guess. Like, he's so passive.
Richard's voice is the one thing I love about him. It's so stereotypical, like, I'm going to the Hamptons. Like, I don't know if he's putting it on or if it's just
his voice. Do you think it's annoying?
No, I love it. I'm saying it's like very, like, he could say, like, hello for no, like, just in one line of the series. And I'd be like, I know exactly who that guy is. He's a rich, stuffy, old dude who doesn't really care much about anything, but he just loves being rich. I don't know.
He probably does love being rich.
Oh, who wouldn't?
As we all would.
Yep.
Obama, if you're listening, we love you.
Call us.
Come on the show. Give us some money. So all the scenes at the country club, you expected it to go that she would actually enjoy it, and then that would be the conflict. And let's actually talk about just even the idea of dramatic conflict on this show. There's not... If you were to like write down the log line for this show and all the dramatic events that happen, it would be... Richard takes Rory to the country club to go golfing. Lorelai doesn't want her to go with Richard. She goes. She enjoys herself. Lorelai gets mad. Lorelai and Rory fight. Lorelai and Rory make up. That's pretty much it. Like, there's no... It's not a juicy show.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so much of the show, when I think back on it and when I think about, like, plot lines and moments, it's like, it's infinitely rewatchable. For me, like, and that's hard to do with a one-hour drama,
right?
I think because it's so dense and dialogue-heavy, and we can talk about things like Peyton Place.
Of course.
That's why it's so, like, good. You can rewatch it over and over again. But as far as, like, the things that happen on this show, it just kind of floats by. It's real airy.
Yeah, I was actually, one of my notes on this episode was that, honestly, for, like, up until like the 28-minute mark, I was just like, not much is happening. It doesn't feel like there's much conflict.
It's kind of a show about nothing.
It is. If only there were another show like that.
Gilmore Girls, Star Salop.
WB.
So if only there was a show.
About nothing.
Mm.
But it's seriously, like, there's not much, like, you get the roots of the conflict with her saying, like, she's not going to want to do it. I bet she will. And then the next, so, like, I couldn't even tell that Rory wasn't enjoying it or was enjoying it until they have, like, dinner.
Until the steam room.
No, yeah, after the steam room, I was just kind of like, oh, I guess she is enjoying it, even though, like, I thought it was going to go there. But, like, there's parts where it's just, like, she's... golfing and it's comedy, and then she tries to golf again, comedy, and then they just walk back and they have the most awkward talk about nothing really. And then they're
which, like, it's hard to do, and I feel like I relate to that. That sounded like a conversation I've had like 1,000 times with relatives, where it's like, so you like movies?
Oh, cool.
Sports? Yeah. Games? I don't know. I related to that.
Yeah.
And I think that's hard to do. The steam room, where there's 60-year-old men with their shirts off, has to be a first on the WB.
By the way, they have the best laughs, and I definitely recorded them.
They're like, oh, did you really?
I did. Okay. I had to.
Okay, let's pretend I just said a funny joke.
All right, I'm gonna start. One second.
And so, so the Fox says 9/11 was an inside job.
That's Richard's laugh.
So the Fox says, no, I don't want monkeys. I want my keys. Oh, you just recorded that one?
Oh, you want the other one? Well, this is the other one is from when they're at dinner and those two old guys sit down.
Yeah.
Give me another line.
And so the Fox says, no, I just want you back. I've really missed you. They're like Statler and Waldorf, right?
They are.
Like 100%.
I wish they were sitting on a balcony just watching these guys.
So good. And that's what I think Gilmore Girls is actually really good at, is for like day players and people who have like 3 or 4 lines, making them super fun and interesting, whatever they are. They're like really defined. There's not just like delivery guy number one. It's like there's a weird thing about him. There's some quirk about him.
Exactly.
I hate to use the word quirk because I feel like that's been misappropriated. Yeah.
I would say attribute, maybe. Just like, I don't know, some, not even attribute, because it's almost always the dialogue that makes them great, but it's just some weird... dynamic between them and whoever they are with that works so well. Mm-hmm. Like, if it were just one of those old guys, the laugh would have been weird and not really that funny because who are they talking to or whatever. But it's two of them, and they're talking to Rory and Richard, and they're just kind of, like, sitting there so quietly that for them to go is actually really funny, like, much funnier than it should be. But
it's just a really nice touch, and I think the show works really hard to make sure those, like, little moments that shouldn't be that memorable, super memorable.
Yeah, which is why side characters like them and Miss Patty, who I guess is more... Miss Patty,
she's
in
it again.
She is, she's in it, and she kills it every time. She's batting 100.
Yeah. Oh, she's batting 1,000, bro. Yeah. I will say... Oh,
wait, is that of 1,000? Batting average?
I don't... Are you into... I don't know anything.
I don't either.
That's good. We can connect on that at least.
Let's do a podcast about...
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month, and it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
About sports.
Where we try to figure out what sports are.
Who's the hockey? Who got the hockey?
Who got the hockey? Welcome to Who Got the Hockey.
Who got the hockey? I'm Demi.
I'm Demi too. I'm the new Demi.
I'm Demi too. Anyway, Yeah, Miss Patty's in it, and she's dancing with, like, the twins, right? Is that who they
are? Yeah, she gets super lusty after one of the grooms. She's like, honey, let me show you how
to do. You know, in some cultures, dancing this close is considered cheating.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, so good.
So great.
I will say, I clicked on one of those now and then articles on, like, people.com.
Yeah.
And it went through the whole cast, like, Alexis Bledel, then and now.
Yeah.
Lauren Graham, then and now. And with them, the differences are very mild.
Right.
And then you start getting into, like, Liza Weil. Weil?
I think it's Weil.
Weil. And that's a big difference.
Really?
She's always been attractive, but now she's, like, super pretty, and her haircut's, like, rad.
And she's, like, I mean, if you watch Scandal or How to Get Away with Murder, you can see her in a few episodes of each so far. But, yeah, she's, I guess, I don't know. To me, I'm kind of like, oh, yeah, that's Liza. I guess she just looks much more mature because she's obviously older, but mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's a mother now.
Is she?
Yeah.
Well, congrats.
Thank you.
Liza, congrats to you too, Liza. Liza, if you're listening, come on the show.
Come on the show. We'll talk about your hair.
And your baby.
And your baby. Bring your baby on the show, now Liza.
Split up your marriage. You never call anymore. You never call anymore.
But on that Now and Then article, it got to Miss Patty. And it's a bummer.
What is it?
Well, it shows her then, which is like Miss Patty, and it's the Miss Patty we all know. And then it showed her now, and it's been a few years since the show's been off. I guess seven. Right. It's been 7 years, and she's not looking good, dude.
Oh, I thought you were going to say she's dead.
I wish I was like, kidding. Oh. No, she's not dead, but she like lost too much weight, and her hair was all messed up. Yeah, it looked bad. Maybe we'll post the picture on our Twitter account just so people... Or maybe we won't. Maybe we'll just let Patty be Patty forever.
You gotta let Patty be Patty.
Yeah, maybe we'll just freeze these actors in our memories the way we want to remember them.
I wish nothing but goodwill towards... do you know... What's the actress's name?
Oh my gosh.
It doesn't matter. I wish nothing but goodwill to the actress formerly recognized on the television as Mrs. Patty. I accidentally just clicked the...
wow. That really undercut the sincerity.
It did. I'm so sorry about that. I wish nothing but the best.
No, her name... I gotta know her name. This is an... we can't host a podcast and not know the woman who... Oh,
that's got me beat.
That was also, the laugh was like in reaction to a joke about grade point average. The guys were like, Rory's doing pretty well in school. She's got a 4.0. And they go, whoa, that's got me beat.
Yeah, which
and
I just drop like. I don't understand. Like, why? Old people are weird, dude. Okay, her name is Liz Torres.
Liz Torres.
Liz Torres.
Wait, I feel like I know that name
from
something else.
Possibly. She was on the John Larroquette Show.
Oh, my favorite.
She was also a recurring cast member on Ugly Betty.
Wait, no, I've seen this. No, I'm thinking of... Oh, my God. I can't believe I was thinking of Kathy Bates. Joe Dirt.
Joe Dirt. Oh, that's Kathy Bates and Joe Dirt.
No, it's not.
It's Liz Torres and Joe Dirt?
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Oh. Do you watch American Horror Story?
I don't. But I feel like I should. Like, I've heard enough good things that I'm kind of like, maybe.
It's not good, but it's fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's kind of like the thing where so many fans are vocal about how great it is, and I'm thinking, oh, maybe they're right. But then I'm also like, but I don't like your fans, so maybe it's wrong.
It's not good storytelling, but it's one of those, like, just bonkers kitchen thing, sink everything against the wall.
Right.
Sort of shows that it is wildly entertaining throughout without being a coherent narrative.
I could see that because it's from the dude who did Nip Tuck, right? Which is
Nip Tuck and Glee, Ryan Murphy.
Very much.
The Normal Heart.
Yeah. Normal Heart was good.
Was it good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, it wasn't stretched out for 40 seasons.
Sure.
Yeah. But
Jessica Lange, by the way, is smoking hot.
She is in beautiful.
American Horror Story.
Oh, I love, like, Jessica Lange so much.
By far. I'm like, it's not even like, oh, she looks good for 65. I'm like, no.
She's
right now, here and now, baby. In the moment, in the present.
She is killing it.
Do you have weird old lady crushes? Or older lady?
I have older lady crushes. I don't think they're weird. I don't know. Like, people are like, would you have sex with Meryl Streep? I'm like, Meryl Streep's, yeah, of course I would. She's beautiful.
Why would you refuse?
Yeah. Helen Mirren looks great. Who was I thinking about the other day? Mary Steenburgen is terrific.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
In 30 Rock, dude?
Yes.
Yeah.
And, good. I don't know. Yes. They're fucking beautiful old women. Old by the sense of, I don't want to call them old because they're not old in respective senses. They're old in Hollywood standards.
Which is anything dumb. Above 35.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm old, but
that's the thing about Hollywood is Hollywood has these double standards for women. Can we talk about this?
Yeah.
Hollywood has double standards for women. You know what I say to Hollywood?
What?
Be nicer.
Be nicer to the women in and outside of your industry, Hollywood. It's not cool.
This has been Hey Hollywood, Be Nicer.
Hey Hollywood, Be Nicer.
Thank you.
I wish we had a... One second. We do have a theme song for this one.
Oh, yeah?
Hey Hollywood, Be Nicer.
Yeah, let me just play the theme song that I totally didn't just record.
Hey Hollywood, Be Nicer.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What a good theme song.
And definitely produced.
I love acapella theme songs.
Yep.
I think those are the best. Any other highlights from this episode you want to talk about?
The entire wedding was actually pretty nice. For some reason, I'm blanking on the conversation that Jarella had that was like, I'm not a jukebox, but she's like, I'll give you money. And it's like, you just got a jukebox.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that was funny. I love Alex Borenstein, even though she is now, or I guess not now, she's been the voice of Lois on Family Guy, which is a show I'm not too crazy about. Although, if anyone from Family Guy is listening to this, come on the show. We love
Seth,
you.
We love you.
We love you, Seth.
Seth, I saw you at the Hollywood Bowl sing 4 big band songs while walking around the stage pretty lackadaisically. So, yeah, come on the podcast. We'll talk about that.
Seth, I didn't watch A Million Ways to Die in the West, but I thought about it.
Seth, I saw Ted, and I thought it's pretty good.
Seth, your music is not terrible.
He's got a pretty good voice.
He's got a good voice.
I was in the humble brag. I was in the studio when he recorded one of those songs.
Yeah.
It was at Capitol Records, like, 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, and he was at Cal, and they were doing it all analog. They were doing it tape to tape.
Yeah.
So it was no Pro Tools. It was nothing digital or nothing computery, and it kept breaking. But he was insistent. He wanted to do it all live, tape to tape, just like Sinatra did it. And he was doing, you're the cream in my coffee, you're the salt in my stew, or whatever that song is. And then a few short years later, that was my friend's first dance at his wedding.
Wow. To the Seth MacFarlane version?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah. And I drunkenly called out from my table, I was there! I was there!
You don't know how many times the tape machine broke, but I do. 7.
I have a personal connection to that song that you'll never have. I hate you and your marriage. Lorelai is so threatened by how much Rory has a good time.
Yeah.
That it's crazy. It's juvenile. I think she's in the wrong, right?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, she lets it consume her thoughts for the entire episode. She's definitely in the wrong there, but it's like...
And then they have a fight about boobs.
Yeah, that was so weird.
Titty fight. is that safe to say?
We've already said fuck like 4 times on the podcast.
No, I don't mean to say... I'm saying safe as in, is that fair to say?
Oh, no.
Is titty fight? I don't know.
I don't know.
I guess that's a little grotesque, right?
Maybe if we were on Spike TV in 2000.
They have themselves a little chest off?
Breast fight.
Chest match?
Breast battle.
A BB.
A BB.
Which is such a... And I think it comes out of nowhere, too. Lorelai's just like, hey, that's my favorite sweater. Since when? Since forever. So crazy and just basic.
Lorelai is very much... I don't want to say a child, but very much like she gives into her immature, irresponsible urges more often than you would think that she would being a mother. But it's also like very much, I don't want to say a product of her like having to become an adult young or a product of her parents, but it's just like a very good character to be in this very bougie setting of like rich white people, and she has to deal with her parents that she like fighting that so much that she kind of wants to be immature. And I'm sure she does. Like, it's easily the more approachable part of her. Like, the parts where she's working at the inn where she has to be like not uptight, but just very more professional. I always like admire her for being professional, but I'm also just like, let's go back to the fun part where you were doing references and stuff.
Oh, you like that better.
Oh, yeah.
Because although she does She can maintain both at the same time, I think.
I think she does a very good job of it, but I also...
She kind
of
has it all, you could say.
She's got it all. She's the best. There's no lyric. That's not a real song. No, I think she does a great job, and I think she's good at her job. And, oh God, I'm saying she does a great job, and she's good at her job. And also, her job is a good job.
If she was here, she would take this as a compliment.
She would. Lorelai, we love you. Come on the show.
We love you. Lauren Graham, hey.
No, I'm talking to the fictional character.
Okay, oh, just...
Crawl out the TV.
Lorelai, crawl out of that sweet
Seven
TV.
Days.
Oh, is that The Ring?
The Ring. Mm-hmm. Now who's doing references?
Yeah. La, 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 la. References.
References.
I was trying to think of a pun to do for, like, the reference segment, but I can't think of any. Like... It would have to rhyme with preferences.
Yeah. Reference.
System references.
System references.
Sexual references. Nothing. There's no good puns.
There isn't. It doesn't have to rhyme. It could just be like references.
So how about sweet refs?
Sweet refs?
Sweet refs.
Sick ref.
Sick refs?
Yeah.
Flag I would do sick ref.
Sick ref.
Sick ref, bro.
Sick ref.
Sick ref.
Yeah, that would be good.
The first sick ref was Antonio Banderas, actually.
Yeah, that's right.
What do they say about... Oh, yeah. Mzuzu bears a striking resemblance to Antonio Banderas.
Yeah, that was
How striking.
Cut.
You're going to want to applaud. Great line.
Okay, got real sexual.
Yeah. Man. But a great line. I was thinking about it.
Is the implication that the Independence Inn gives happy endings?
Happy Independence things. Day. No, but the Antonio Banderas reference, I was confused because I was like, this show is pretty old. Was Antonio Banderas...
In 2000? That's the thing. That's what's hard to gauge about the show is like, what was out of date then?
Right.
Because certainly Peyton Place and Bob Barker aren't like, oh, the kids can't stop gabbing about Price
is Right.
Is Bob
Barker still on Price is Right?
He didn't retire until like 4 years ago.
Right, right. But I was looking it up, and apparently that's like the height. It makes perfect sense. That was the height of his career. It's when he just did Zorro. He did Desperado. He's about to do Spy Kids, which brought him down a bit. But, you know, we love you, Antonio.
You think that devalued his career?
I don't think it devalued his career. I think it sort of, I don't want to say ruined, but it brought down his image of the badass, like, sort of... sword swinging, swashbuckling dude that at least that I always recognize him as being by other pop culture standards. But at the same time, I don't think his career went down because after that he did Desperado. He was Once Upon a Time in Mexico. No, wait. Desperado was before. Once Upon a Time in Mexico was after. And
but again, it was Rodriguez.
What do you mean?
Robert Rodriguez did Spy Kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And Desperado and
right.
Once Upon a Time in Mexico.
But I mean, I don't want to say he's responsible for his career because he didn't do Zorro, which I consider the big Antonio Banderas movie. But no, the reference is timely, is what I was trying to get at.
This segment has been called Hey Ho Antonio.
Hey Antonio.
Hey Ho Antonio. Aka. Is that racist?
What did you say?
I just went Aka.
What sound is? I don't know what sound that is.
Aka.
I don't think it's racist because I can't tell what you're doing.
Yeah, well, hey.
It's like we were talking about black people and you just went, woo-hoo. Like, I don't know. What does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a sound. It's impossible for that to be racist.
Yeah, sounds can't be racist, so, you know, everyone can say it.
Well, I can think of one racist sound.
Do it, do it, do it. I'm kidding.
Hatred. The most racist sound of all. This is a good app.
This is a great app.
I really enjoyed... if this podcast. The Gilmore Girls app sucked.
No, it was bad.
This is a great app.
We are killing it.
We are... crushing it. Crushing it. Yeah. Two things we didn't address at the top. I know we said Alexis Bledel was going to be here last time.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that. Do you want to say what happened or should I?
Yeah, okay. So last week it was a car wreck, which she was fine in. It wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, like a fender bender.
Right. This week, what she said to me, because you gave her my number
right.
And now we're kind of texting.
Of course.
We're kind of, you know, we're just texting a little bit. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to read too much into it. But
don't get jealous,
yeah,
Vince.
It's a little
Vincent
bit.
Vincent Kartheiser, her husband.
What's that?
Vincent Kartheiser, her husband?
She has a husband?
Yeah, you didn't. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, she's been married. She's married.
What? Maybe we shouldn't. I don't think we should have her on the show, Demi.
Are you? Because she texts me. She's on for next episode.
No, I don't. She texted you that. She didn't text me that.
Oh, okay. What happened this last time?
Well, she said, "Hey, I just saw this," which I texted her like 6 hours before.
Right.
And the read receipt was on. I know she saw it before.
That's really rude of her.
And she said, "I just saw this. I got totally mixed up. I thought it was next Thursday that you were recording this." Which I don't even think that's true.
I don't think it is.
And I said, "Okay, great. Well, can you do next Thursday?" And then I saw the three dots, but then they went away.
Right.
So, but I guess she texted you, so that's great. So I guess great. So you guys can expect.
Is it going to be weird?
No. I mean, we're professionals. So it'll be fine.
Yeah.
But
it'll be fine.
Yeah. So
Alexis Bledel confirmed for episode 4.
She will be here, I guess, for episode 4.
Yeah, it's going to be great for all three of us. We're all going to enjoy it equally. Every one of us in the room. All three of the people in the room at the time.
Yeah. Can you just keep talking about the show?
So, my favorite, actually, I want to do a segment from now on called Favorite Line.
Okay.
Where we just like,
we picked the best line.
There's so many good lines in the show. And I think in this one is when, as a peace offering, like there are so many women in the show. I can't just say that. When Lorelai brings Emily and Richard dessert at the end, and she goes like, "You brought me used dessert." I think that used dessert, that's such a funny phrase. I don't know. She's like, "Leftovers." But I thought, like, that's classic Emily Gilmore. That's great.
She can make anything condescending and reductive. She can be reductive.
Which is weird because I like recognize that she's being reductive. But as I watch it, I'm just like, oh, no, it's totally fine. I feel like she's tricking me as well.
Oh, she's manipulated
by a script that is it's 14 years
old. And by a veteran Broadway performer.
It's like if someone tapped me on the shoulder and I turned the opposite way and it was just like, oh, you tapped me on the shoulder 20 years ago?
Yeah, and you're fictional and you don't exist.
Yeah. You tapped a person in the show on the shoulder and I turned around? Well,
there's a lot of confusion here.
Yeah.
But I'll be confused by Emily Gilmore any day. I mean, those gams.
Those gams.
Yeah. But
what was your favorite?
My favorite line was probably, here's my favorite line and my favorite look. My favorite look of the show, because so much of the storytelling, it's not a very it's not a very visually dynamic show.
Right.
It's pretty much just Steadicam shots, masters, just gliding through, shot, reverse shot, master. There's no like real visual storytelling going on.
Yeah.
Except for when they hold on someone's reaction shot like 2 beats longer than another show would. So for me, that moment was in the diner, in Luke's diner, which Luke has weird hippie dialogue in this. I don't know how much this jives. He's like, you know, the greens are destroying the environment, blah, 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 which I don't feel is consistent with what he becomes, which is a Republican president. He becomes the president on that show.
Spoiler, that's terrific.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
I mean,
that's like season 5.
Yeah.
But in the diner, and she's talking to Rory, and she puts on that cute little hat. It's just so cute. It really is. I just love it so much. And she says, "No, I think it looks kind of cute." And then she just looks at her, and it's just it's one of those things where it's like Lauren Graham just like does new things that you didn't even see coming.
Yeah.
And it's just everything is going on. She's like proud of her daughter. She loves her so much. There's so much affection, but also there's like a sadness. There's also like a grief in her. Like, oh, I was wrong.
And right.
I was wrong about this.
Speaking of which, that feeling is sort of is it the last shot that's just her sitting at the table? After?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, let's get to that. It's like
bummer ending for Lorelai, kind of.
They go back to Emily and Richard's place, and then Emily, Richard, and Rory all go into the library to check out Richard's book. And it just ends with her alone on the couch.
Yeah, and they're like talking and clearly happy, and she's just kind of like, I don't know, I mean, she's bummed. Yeah, actually, I would say that, but it was just weird. I wasn't expecting it to end on that note, because it's always ending with them, with Lorelai and Rory together.
You say least, always. It's only been two episodes.
Yeah, it's every episode. Every single one you've seen. I always thought it was going to be the kind of thing where it goes back to the beginning of them being so great, like having a perfectly fine relationship, and then like walking away somewhere. And that's, I mean, not to spoil the next episode, but that's what the next episode ends as. And it's so weird that this episode was just like, no, Lorelai is kind of alone, sad. Maybe this new dynamic will turn into something. And you're just kind of like, oh, wow, this is actual. And I hate to say game changer because, again, it's been three episodes. But
GC, bro.
It's a game changer.
Kind of, because it really is the first shift
yeah.
away in favor of Emily. That's right. Kind of like a check mark in her – it's a tally mark in her column.
Yeah.
For as far as, like, the battle for Rory's soul goes or the battle for influence over Rory's life goes.
Right.
And I love endings like that. There's a bunch more coming up where it's just, like, the ending of the show – is either it's just like a weird note, a sad note, a melancholy note, or it's just like, oh, I guess we're done now.
Yeah.
And it was such a good show. This doesn't really have to do, well, maybe it does have to do with the endings, but Sherman Palladino always talked about she would never write for act breaks, especially on Bunheads, which maybe we'll do that instead of season 7. I thought that might be a good idea instead
Bunheads
of...
Bunheads was canceled, right?
What's that?
Was it canceled?
It was. R.I.P. Oh, it was so before its time, dude. Oh, I'm still sad about it. But she would never write to act breaks. So you know how usually in TV, it'd be like, okay, climax, act one, end of act one, go to commercial, end on a big note, I'm pregnant, go to commercial. She would never do that. So, and I think the result of which is that scenes flow in and out super well on Netflix and on DVD or however you're watching it.
Yeah.
Because it does just kind of like, oh, this is kind of the end of this scene. All right, fade up on the next scene.
Right.
It's not like how most network TV plays now, which is so dumb. Like even like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which would write so super hardcore to the act break. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
And now it's just dumb because there's just three false climaxes in a row.
Yeah.
Whereas on this, there's just a really nice flow. It almost reminds me of, I guess it reminds me of like a Woody Allen movie. Or a lot of Frasier, how that would fade in and out.
Right.
And that's just a good ebb and flow. But yeah, the ending was great. I love the ending.
It's so good.
What do we rate this episode?
I would give it 4 out of 5 blueberry shortcakes.
I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 cute Rastafarian hats from the golf club.
Yeah, man.
We jamming, man.
We be jamming. That's my impression of a bad impressionist doing an impression of a Rastafarian.
That's the kind of meta humor you can come to expect on this show. There's going to be layers. There's going to be things you have to unpack that you have to think about more than once. It's not going to be your easy cookie cutter, oh, let's have a conversation about a TV show kind of show.
We're the community of podcasts.
We are definitely the community of podcasts, which means... you're going to think we'll die like 5 times, but we'll keep coming back.
You can't stop us.
Somehow we will keep coming back no matter how many people leave the podcast.
We're going to have one season that's not too great.
Not so good. Yeah. Maybe it's season 7. But thanks for tuning in, guys, to the Stars Holocast. I didn't say that. I gotta get better. I got to get a tighter intro at the top.
Ah.
I shouldn't try to improve?
No, I think you should deprove.
Shake it off?
Shake it off.
Just avoid criticism altogether? Just shake it off?
I think so, yeah. They're all haters. I'm throwing up 2 peace fingers. Haters.
Why? If they're haters, why do they throw up peace fingers?
These are just double middle fingers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
The more fingers up, the more middle fingers. It's like when you have 5 up, that's kind of like a... every other one negates the previous middle finger, and then eventually it's just a nice hello.
That is interesting to think about. A wave hello is actually the middle finger in disguise.
Yeah.
He's wearing a little costume, but he's there just flipping you off.
It's a middle finger in hands clothing.
Should we end the show how we always end the show?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
What do you mean you have no idea what I'm talking about?
What do you mean you have no... I'm stalling. I'm trying to pull up the Girls theme, guys.
Jimmy, I was thinking we could have a little sing-along at the end of the show.
I love it. Let's do that.
But I know we've already done this twice. This is episode 3. Why don't we do it a slightly different way?
Are we going to rap? No. What are we going to do?
How about... we... sing it in the impression of one of our favorite comedians.
Okay.
So you pick a comedian, I'll pick one.
I'm trying to think of an impression.
And let's not tell each other who it is.
All right.
Let's just do it. So don't tell me who you're about to do.
Yeah.
Just start doing it, and then I'll start doing mine.
Man, I have to think of one.
It doesn't have to be a comedian. It can be anybody. I'll broaden it. It can be a singer, be an actor, it can be a public figure. I'll leave the reference base for you as wide open as it is on a show called Gilmore Girls.
All right. So then after that, will we say who the impression was of?
Maybe.
Maybe, perhaps.
Or maybe it'll just be self-evident.
I don't know that it'll be self-evident. Yeah, all right, let's do it.
Okay, you ready? Let's go.
I'm not. I was just like, I'll think of one. Whatever, yeah.
I'll start off, and then you can join in.
Okay,
it'll make you feel easier.
Ready?
Yeah. Out on the road, feeling lonely and so cold.
Yeah. All you have to do is call my name and I'll be there. On the next train.
Where you lead, I will follow. Anywhere.
That but she told me
to Camille. You need me to be with you. I will follow.
Freedom. Oh,
Theo, where you
lead,
I will follow.
Like a Rolling Stone.
Anywhere
that you should tell me to. If you need
me to be with you, I will follow where you lead. You know, mine kind of turned into yours at the end. So you were doing Mitch Hedberg, right?
Of course. Clinton, actually.
Mitch Hedberg. Oh, you were doing Bill Clinton?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You know who I was doing, right?
Yeah, I know. You were Hannibal Buress.
Hey, people say, Hannibal, you can't sing on the podcast. And I say, F you, I can sing.
I say I can sing anywhere.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, I've been practicing.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. Bye.
Yeah, thank you so much. I don't need to clap.